today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
When you're faced with a crisis and you turn to God in prayer, that your prayer is going to be affected by two things, your view of God and your view of the problem. If you believe that God is all wise and all powerful and all loving, that God is sovereign, that God is in control, and then if you believe that God answers prayer, if you believe that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, then you're going to respond properly when you face a crisis.
There'll be times in your life you'll face moments that will seem impossible to get through. And those moments are impossible, except to God. Today, Pastor John will challenge you to seek God in faith and humility no matter what you're facing. As you pray, you must decide what you believe about God and your situation as you seek Him in crisis. Do you think your life is just too out of control for God to step in? Is your problem too much for Him to handle? Or will you choose to believe that He is all-wise, all-powerful, and in control? That nothing is beyond His ability. Nothing is impossible for Him. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of Daniel chapter 2 as he continues his message, The God of Dreams.
God doesn't really hang out on earth with us. He's in the heavens, and we're not really in touch with God to be able to give you that kind of an information. Actually, can you imagine if someone came to you and said, hey, look, I had a dream last night, and I need you to tell me what it is I dreamed and what it means. I have people tell me their dreams all the time. By the way, God doesn't today generally lead us by dreams. I am like 99.9% very, very suspect about getting direction from God through dreams. Can God give you a dream? Yes. Does God use dreams? Not very often, okay? It's pretty rare. It's usually something you ate. If I eat chocolate cake after 11 o'clock at night, I get visions, but they're not from God. And here's one of the problems I have with dreams. And anytime someone comes to me with a dream, bless your dear sweet little heart, I it's hard for me because I don't want to disappoint you and I don't want to upset you and I don't want to bum you out. But your dream is subjective. The Bible is objective truth. When God's Spirit speaks to us through God's Word and He's leading us according to His Word, we have objective truth. We can know for sure that God is speaking and God is leading. I talked about the leading of the Lord Sunday morning in Psalm 23, where He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But dreams are subjective. There's no way to be sure. And here's another thing. If God gives you a dream, God's going to have to tell you what it means. I'm not a dream interpreter. I don't know what your dreams mean. I don't know what my dreams mean. How do I know what your dreams mean? So I'm just going to save you the trouble right now, you know, and you go, wow, nice guy, Pastor John. Let me just save you the trouble. If you have a dream, I'm not the one to interpret it for you. And I can't interpret it for you. I have no idea. I'm telling you right now, I don't know what it means. And if God wants you to know what it means, God will have to tell. I've had people get upset with me because I wouldn't tell them what their dream meant. It's like, have mercy on me. Don't you think if God wants you to know what your dream means, God will tell you what it means? I don't know what it means. God will have to show you what it means. But it is subjective, and you need to be careful, and you need to make sure that you're finding direction by using the Word of God and following the clear, objective truth of God's Word. But they say that no one can do this unless the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of John's Gospel, chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14 it says, and the Word became what? Flesh. And what did that Word do? Dwell among us. Literally pitched His tent among us. So there is a wisdom of God found in Christ who is God incarnate, God manifested in the flesh. And in the person of Jesus Christ, we have the Word made flesh, God dwelling among us. But we're going to see that God did give wisdom unto Daniel. I want you to notice in verse 12, they say, "For this cause the king was angry." It says the king was angry and furious. This is why I said he was very temperamental and mostly mental. He was just kind of, he would just lose his cool. He's not used to being dealt with this way, and he was very angry and very, very furious. What a contrast in a moment with Daniel, who was calm and cool and a man of faith and who trusted in the Lord. And so it says there, "For this cause the king was angry, he was furious, he commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon." So the decree was given to wipe them all out. And so the decree went forth, verse 13, that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Now, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't there. They weren't called in. As I said, they were just kind of junior wise men, and they were new on the block, and they were the Hebrews. But the king had already examined them, and he knew that they were superior even to his other wise men and his astrologers. And so the king's putting them to the test. But when the decree went out, Daniel and his three friends were all going to be destroyed along with everyone else. Now, the Bible tells us Satan comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. I believe that this is Satan's attempt to kill Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The devil is trying to actually destroy them and to wipe them out. But God protects them and God exalts them. So we move from God distresses the king. God gives the king a dream. He can't sleep. To God disgraces the wise men. They can't answer the problem that the king to give him his dream or the interpretation thereof. And then we move thirdly in verse 14 to verse 23, God discloses the dream to Daniel. Now, we're not going to get into the actual content of the dream and its interpretation till next Wednesday. But notice beginning in verse 14 that Daniel answered with counsel and with wisdom, or wisdom and tact, to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" And Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. So Daniel's getting arrested, and they're taking him off to death row with his three friends, and he's going, "Can you mind if I ask what's going on here?" I mean, he wasn't party to anything. He didn't even know what was going on. Now, what would you do if you were Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What would you do if you found out that you were being taken off to death row, you're going to be sentenced to death, you're going to be destroyed? Freak out, right? It says in verse 16, "Then Daniel went in, and Daniel desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation." Man, that took faith. It took boldness and courage and faith on Daniel's part. Now, I want you to notice what Daniel does, verse 17 and 18. "Then Daniel went to the house, and he made known the thing to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah," the Hebrew names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his companions. Verse 18, They desired mercies of God, the God of heaven, concerning this secret, that Daniel and his followers should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now, instead of panicking, instead of freaking out, instead of running for your life, instead of running to the wise men and say, "Hey, you guys got any books on dream interpretation that we can do some study on and figure this out?" Trying to escape, trying to figure it out, freaking out. They got on their knees and they prayed. Now, the first thing is that Daniel sends word into the king. That's possible there in verse 16 that he didn't actually go in to see the king yet. That it wasn't until about verse 25 when Arioch brought Daniel before the king, but he actually, through a messenger, sent word into the king. Now, here's an interesting thing. The wise men, the Babylonian, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, and astrologers, and the wise men, and New Testament, they were called magi. They were the ones that saw the star and came to see the baby Jesus. They asked the king to give them the dream. Daniel asked for time. He's not asking, tell me the dream and I'll give you the interpretation. He just says, give me a little time. And then he makes a promise, I will give you the dream and I'll give you the interpretation. So I believe that's one of the reasons why the king allowed Daniel to have this extra time in this situation. So Daniel went in, desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Just give me some time. Now, make a point of this. This took faith on Daniel's part. This took faith on Daniel's part. Daniel trusted and looked to God in faith to believe that God would give him the dream and give him the meaning of that dream. So what does Daniel and his three friends do? It says in verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his followers should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel grabs his friends, and I can almost hear them saying, you said what to the king? Are you crazy? Are you insane? What are you thinking? But what options do you have, right? If you do nothing, you die. If you don't get the dream and the interpretation, you die. So you might as well take a stab at it. You might as well buy yourself some time. You might as well do what you can to try to work a situation out. Now let me say a couple things quickly about, I believe that they prayed at this point and turned to the Lord in prayer when it says in verse 18 that they desired mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his followers would not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now, it doesn't record their entire prayer for us. It records in verse 19 to verse 23 their response to the fact that God answered their prayer. But I believe that when you are faced with a crisis, and they are faced with a crisis, and maybe you're faced with a crisis, and when you're faced with a crisis and you turn to God in prayer, that your prayer is going to be affected by two things, your view of God and your view of the problem. If you believe that God is all wise and all powerful and all loving, that God is sovereign, that God is in control, and then if you believe that God answers prayer, if you believe that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, then you're going to respond properly when you face a crisis. You got that? When you're facing, you won't be going to peace or going crazy or freaking out or running for your life. You're going to be calm, cool, and collected because you know that God is all wise and God is all powerful, that God is in control, and you know that God answers prayer, and you know that you can rest in God's providential care. And so they pray that God would be merciful. I love that. They turn to God. God, show mercy. And they pray to the God of heaven. Now in verse 19, it says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might and power are His. And He changes the times and the seasons, and He removes kings. He sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep, secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and in the light dwells with Him. And then in verse 23, I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Now, when Daniel received the answer to his prayer, what does he do? He prays. And his prayer is actually worship. So he prayed, and the background for that is verse 17 and 18, to the God of heaven, that God would have mercy and give them this understanding. And then God gives them this understanding, and then he worships. So worship is different than petitioning in prayer. Worship is ascribing to God praise and thanksgiving and adoration. And that's what takes place from verse 19 down to verse 23. So God revealed to Daniel, and it was in a night vision. So it wasn't a dream. It was actually a vision. Daniel was awake. When you have a dream, you're asleep. But when you have a vision, you're awake, and God gives you this vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So in verse 18, he's referred to as the God of heaven, as opposed to the false gods of the Babylonians and the pagan Gentile Babylonians. And by the way, this is kind of the battle of the gods as well, showing that the gods of the heathen are vain, and that the God of Israel is the God who dwells in heavens, and that He's the all-wise, all-powerful God. And then they blessed the God of heaven. Then verse 20, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." And there's two things that Daniel thanks God for. He thanks God for His wisdom and for His power. His wisdom and His power. In my King James Bible, it's translated might. That is, that God is omniscient and that God is omnipotent. Those are two big words to describe the idea that God knows everything and that God has all power. Now, God is also omnipresent, which means there's nowhere God is not. You can't go anywhere in the universe and get away from God. You're at a spot and you go, this is God-forsaken place. No, God is everywhere. All of God is everywhere all the time. But I love the idea that he gave thanks for God's wisdom and for God's might or God's power. Those are two amazing attributes of God that we need to remember. God knows all things, and that God has all power. That'll affect your prayer life and how you pray. And then he changes times and seasons, and that God is in control. By his wisdom and power, he changes times and seasons, and he removes kings and he sets up kings. You know that God is in control? You know that God isn't freaking out over Russia or China or North Korea or Iran or Iraq or any other part of the world where there's trouble, or Syria? God isn't freaking out. You know that God's completely in control? We are. From the human perspective, it was an impossibility, the thought that anybody can give this king what he dreamed and what it means. But from God's perspective, God is the all-wise, all-powerful God. It's not an issue. And he reveals deep secrets, the deep secret things, verse 22. He knows what is in darkness, and light dwells with him. And then they're thanking God. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given to me. And then he closes in verse 23 by just thanking God that God gave to him personally and individually this wisdom and this insight and this understanding made known to me. And then at the end, he says, you've made known unto us the king's matter. So he includes his three friends as well as himself. So God's wisdom is found in Christ for us today. You know, we don't have the wisdom of Daniel. We may not have the training and the wisdom that Daniel had, but you know what we have that Daniel didn't have? We have the fulfillment of God's promise in sending His Son, Jesus Christ. And you know what the Bible says in the book of Colossians? It says that in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God wants to reveal to you the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that wisdom and that knowledge is found in the person of Jesus Christ, and it's given to those who are humble. So, but Daniel, in his great faith, trusting in God, not looking to himself, got on his knees in a time of crisis and prayed that God would show mercy, and God answered the prayer because He's a God of wisdom and a God of power. Someone said, faith is putting all your eggs in God's baskets and counting them before they hatch. I love that. Faith doesn't scheme. Faith rests. Faith trusts. You notice that Daniel didn't go running off and try to figure out the problem. He said, let's get on our knees and let's pray and let's trust God. I don't know what problem you're facing, but I'll tell you where you need to go. You need to get on your knees and pray and trust God and look to God and turn to God. Pray to the God who is all wise and the God who is all powerful, that He will guide you and He will direct you and He will take care of you. God gives His wisdom to those that are humble. Jesus said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You conceal these things from the wise and the prudent, and You reveal these things even unto those that are spiritually babes. Now let me give you some quick closing application. Since God will be awake tonight and God doesn't sleep, God doesn't slumber, guess what you and I can do? We can go home and sleep. Since God is awake, we can go to sleep. Secondly, face your problems with faith in God and pray to God. Don't freak, don't fret, don't panic. Have faith in God. God is all wise and all powerful. He's in control. The fact that God knows everything and that God has the wisdom and the power to control everything, we can rest in God in faith. And then thirdly, since the whole world is in God's hands, your world is in God's hands also. Amen? We sing that old song, and He's got the whole world in His hands. If He's got the whole world in His hands, guess what? He's got you and me, brother, in His hands.
Nothing, no matter what you're facing, is too hard for God. Though things may be out of control for you, nothing is impossible for God. Today, Pastor John encouraged you to turn to God in faith and humility in every situation. Daniel trusted God and turned to Him immediately in prayer when he faced a significant crisis. And after God answered him, he responded in praise and thanksgiving. Will you choose to rest in His power and control and give Him thanks in all things? Before we tell you what's happening on the next edition of Revival Radio, let's hand it back over to Pastor John.
I want to take a moment and invite you to the church that I'm privileged to pastor, Revival Christian Fellowship. If you live near Menifee, California, we'd love to have you join us at one of our services on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. It's such a blessing to come together as the body of Christ and to worship and study God's Word. We'd love to have you and your family join us. It's easy to find our service times and directions to the church by visiting our website, revival.tv.
I look forward to seeing you at an upcoming Sunday morning or Wednesday night service.
It's easy to think that strong nations will last forever. Yet, you'll discover next time on Revival Radio that nations come and nations go no matter how strong. Pastor John explains that's how it's been since the beginning in God's Word. The strength of a nation will not cause it to be invincible. Only God will last forever, and His kingdom stands firm forever. It's best to put your allegiance with God over any nation. That's all we have for today. Thanks for joining us for Revival Radio.